Hello and welcome to the Everything is Black and White podcast. It's time for the match preview. Newcastle head down to face Manchester City in the quarterfinal of the FA Cup at the Etihad. I'm Andrew Musgrove, joined as usual by John Gibson. And you might think, you guys coming into this episode, there might be a bit of a negative one. Newcastle United have got no chance against Manchester City. What's the point of even turning it? What's the point of even doing this episode? Well, we're going to try and be as positive as possible. John's already started because online, on chroniclelive.co.uk, in the paper, he's done a wonderful article looking back down the history books at when Newcastle's strikers and danger men have got the better of Manchester City. So we're going to start right there, John. What does the history books tell you about what Newcastle United can do positively on Saturday?
Well, the history's excellent. I still remember as a little lad sitting in front of my Auntie Grace's telly, which was the size of a postage stamp, black and white, and watching us murder them 3-1 in the FA Cup final 1955. And I was almost getting bored because we were doing it so often. You know, it was 3 times in 5 years. We were crowned that afternoon as the Cup Kings of England, full stop, because that's what we were at the time. And Jackie Milburn scored in 45 seconds, which was the record for Wembley. Schooler and Mitchell ran the complete show. We won 3-1. It's got to be said they were down to 10 men because in those days there was no subs. So Jimmy Meadows went off injured and had to play with 10 men for an hour. But they were already losing. There was controversy. There always is with Newcastle, isn't there? I mean, Jackie Milburn wasn't even picked to play in the final. The manager submitted the team to Stan Seymour on the board, and there was no Milburn there, who'd been the star of the previous two finals. Stan Seymour ripped it up, threw it in the basket, put Milburn in the team, and the rest was history. Dougal Livingston didn't last long as manager after that. And, of course, the vindication for Seymour and for Milburn was he scored in 45 seconds. There was a lot of recent times at the beginning of the noughties when Kevin Keegan was then manager of Manchester City. Bobby Robson was manager of Newcastle United, two legends of Newcastle, two England managers. Newcastle won 3-0. Shearer scored. And coming right up to time, you remember not so long ago when Aguero scored within 24 seconds at St James's Park. And we ran out 2-1 winners. And the man that scored the winning goal is still with us. Matt Ritchie scored the winning goal from the penalty spot. I mean, admittedly, they had the moments, the 76 League Cup final that beat us 2-1. We were magnificent on the day. That was our best losing performance at Wembley, better than 98-99, better than last season in the League Cup. But we still lost 2-1. And a lot of people won't remember, but the last day of the 68 season, Man City come to St James's Park, won 4-3, and as a consequence, were crowned Kings of England. They won the title that day at St James's, but it wasn't all doom and gloom that day because we qualified for the European FA Cup and we know what happened then and the following season. So there's a lot of history. Good gracious, we've only got to go back to earlier this season to know we beat them 1-0 in the League Cup. Mind, we are clinging to straws passing in the wind when it comes to this match on Saturday, but why not? It's a two-horse race and who knows? Man City might do a Devon Rock.
Well,
for the younger people, that was a racehorse that had won the Grand National, was just trotting up to the post and collapsed on all fours for some unknown reason, and the rest of the field went past it and it lost one of the most famous defeats in the Grand National ever. Maybe Man City will collapse. I'm not holding my breath, I've got to say, and you'll ask me to be realistic later on, and that's when the mood will become more depressive. But in a two-horse race, you always have a chance.
Well, I did ask people on Twitter to come back to me with one positive ahead of Saturday, and a lot of people said, you know, you've just got to keep the faith. You never know what can happen. But in the interest of balance, Newcastle have lost 15 of their past 16 games at Manchester City, including the past 9, and City have progressed from their past 6 FA Cup quarterfinals since losing to Wigan in 2013-14. And you can look at that as City's dominance in the FA Cup. But as I said, last time they did lose in the quarterfinal was to Wigan. So Newcastle, much better than Wigan were back in the day. So why not? Why not? But you are right, John. You've got to be realistic about Saturday. But I also think we'll be bringing a bit of blind faith into the game, because if you don't do that, then you do focus on the negatives and you do focus on the stats and you do focus on the form. You know, Man City being arguably the best club in the world at the moment, Newcastle, very inconsistent, horrible on the road, you know, not Newcastle of old. You have to bring a bit of blind faith into the equation. And that's what's getting me through, you know. It would be so Newcastle United to beat the best club in the world and then go on to hopefully lift the FA Cup. I'm bringing blind faith into Saturday. That's what
I'm going to say. I've got to be realistic, because I've been following this team of ours, or this club of ours, not the team, for 55 years plus. So I've got to be realistic. And I mean, if you're being realistic, we have very little hope or no hope whatsoever, because, you know, when you think of the form against Chelsea, you know, who are a very average side. I mean, if you look, the night before we played Chelsea, Andrew, City played Liverpool. If the neutrals throughout the country watched that, and then the next day switched on to Newcastle v Chelsea, two clubs of great history, of great standing, but it was chalk and cheese. The gap was as big as the Grand Canyon between the original match and this match. And if we play anything like we did at Chelsea, you know, and you say typical Newcastle has been the odd down and up, but Newcastle are consistent at the moment, consistently poor. It's when they get a day like when they beat Wolves, when they get a day like they go to Aston Villa and win, when they get a day like they go to Nottingham Forest and win, that's become the exception, not the rule. Last season, that was the rule. We did that all season and finished fourth. That's now the exception. We are consistently batting beneath what we say. Dear old Eddie Howe, loving to death and all that. But, he's saying at the end of if the Chelsea game, and honestly, it frustrated me and it annoyed me a tad, we know we can defend better than that. I tell you what, Andrew, we don't, you know. We know we defended better than that last season, but we haven't defended better than that this season. If Eddie believes that, he ought to have a look at the goals against record and the goals against record this year and away from home, and it's shocking. But I don't want to bring depression in too early. We've started on a positive note. Let's stay positive. They might score an OJ in 5 minutes and get two people sent off. I know when I watched them the other night and Edison got injured, I thought, oh, well, that's a start. We now just need another six of them injured and we've got a real chance.
Yeah, well, the big news today is that Kevin De Bruyne hasn't been able to train, and there's a feeling he might miss Saturday's game against Newcastle United, which is a massive, massive positive, isn't it? Because he is the man who makes everything tick. We saw Pierre at St. James's Park when Newcastle were really unfortunate not to come away with at least a point. He was introduced from the bench and he turned the game right on its head. But the reports coming from Belgium say that De Bruyne has got a problem with his groin and he's been struggling in recent matches. That's why he's not been called up for the most recent Belgian squad. The report goes on to say, yesterday I spoke to the doctor and Kevin and we decided that the risk is too great. It's our responsibility to take into account the player, but also the player's team. It must make sense to call up a player. If he cannot play or train, it is our responsibility to protect him. It's better to give him time to recover well at City and then have him ready for the European Championships. We can't take any risks now, especially not with Kevin. So the hope is that means he isn't going to be available for Saturday.
Sure.
Some might think, well, actually, what they might do is just protect them. We know there's cases where players don't train throughout the week and then they turn up on the Saturday and play and then they don't train again for another week. And it's because it's their best player. I mean, reading between the lines there, you know, I would hope he's not going to play on Saturday for the goodness of him as well, because we want to see him at the European Championships, but also for the goodness of Newcastle United. What do you make of that?
Mainly for that reason. To be truthful, and I was being sarcastic when I said Edison's out, we could do with another six. But, you know, this is the one side where you do need another six out. I mean, De Bruyne goes out. That if that was with Newcastle United, that De Bruyne out in our colours, it would be massive. But you look at what they can bring in. they'll still have Haaland, they'll still have Foden, they'll still have Bernardo Silva and Rodri in midfield. Bernardo Silva and Rodri against our midfield. You know, it is not the blow for City that it is for other clubs, because they have so much strength in depth. I mean, when Haaland goes out, a 50-goal man last season, they've got Alvarez, who won the World Cup, to come in. Rodri must... I mean, could we do with Rodri? Never mind De Bruyne. Could we do with Rodri? Is he the best six in the country, in the Premier League? You know, in our midfield, is a bond on its hinges once again down at Chelsea, having been much better against Wolves. Yes, it is a help, and Edison's a help, but it'll also be a help if Haaland goes out, if Foden goes out, if Rodri goes out, if Bernardo Silva goes out, if Stones goes out, then we've got a real help there.
I don't think Manchester City will be allowing you, John, to go into the kitchen and be their pre-match chef with your hopes, because you might be sprinkling something in the lasagna potentially to get all these players out.
I would be most willing to help. I really would, because I think we need all the help we can get at the moment.
Just to be clear, we don't condone that. That was a joke, ladies and gentlemen. What we do condone is Newcastle going toe-to-toe with Manchester City and beating them on Saturday. But we could do, again, have to be realistic. Let's talk about the midfield. It's the issue that is consistently talked about week after week. Against Wolves, they dropped deep, they absorbed the pressure, hit Wolves on the counter. It was perfect. It's what they should have done against Chelsea. For whatever reason, they didn't do. They tried to employ the high press and it just didn't work. There was no intensity right from the word go. How did Newcastle set up on Saturday, and what did it do with the midfield, John? Because it's probably likely to be the same three of a Bruno, a Willock, and a Longstaff. Do they sit deep and absorb, or do they try and press high and force City into mistakes?
If they press high, they'll be absolutely massive. Only because they can't press high in the way they did last season. Last season, they pressed high brilliantly. They had legs, they got up there, they had power, they had belief above us. We haven't got belief. I watch Newcastle now, they're placid. You know, they're timid almost. They haven't got the belief nor the legs to do it. And if we therefore go... I mean, what on earth were we doing trying to do the hard press, the high press at Chelsea, when we had produced the low press against Wolves and it worked perfectly against Wolves because it put us on the counter. And with the pace we've got on the counter, when you think of Gordon when he's fit and Almiron and Isak, with that pace, go to Chelsea's, have a low press and hit them on the counter. I mean, play the way we did last season. When you're capable of it, it's wonderful. You'll beat them. But when we're not capable of it this season, why we did that, I'm not certain. And I mean, you know, you'll get to the situation in this podcast where you'll say, Gibbo, it's time to talk about the team. And if you say that to me, I can tell you who I would leave out, but there would be nobody in it. Because, you know, Botman is shot. Byrne, I'm not even going to go there. He needs somebody in front of him to have any chance whatsoever. And Gordon, for some strange reason, looked unfit from the start, not just when he fell down. He was not tracking back at all. And as a consequence, Byrne was just absolutely burned by the only player on the park that was sheer quality, and that was Palmer. So you've got those two guys. Longstaff is so much in need of a rest, it's untrue. He is awful, and that's not excusing everybody else. But you know, I would have Longstaff out the team, I would have Botman out the team, I would have Byrne out the team, Shaw and Dubravka on the displays at Chelsea don't deserve to be in, but it was a one-off. Shaw had been good before that. But, I mean, the star was Livramento, who was supposed to be the one that wasn't in the back four. He was only in because of Trippier. The famous back four of Trippier, Shaw, Botman and Byrne is completely full of holes. Full of holes. And so what do you do? I mean, to be truthful with the midfield, on you know, you're saying, what do we do tactically? And you're right, that is the situation. Do we go front foot? Do we go low press? But I mean, I would pull Longstaff out and play Miley alongside alongside Bruno and Willock. As you say, you can only ask me what I would do. We know what we think Eddie will do.
Yeah, well, let's just, I mean, obviously, I mean, I think Eddie Howe will play the same team. I think he'll play the formation. It's just whether he plays deep or presses high.
Yes, he will do the same.
To be fair. And he'll probably be forced to sit without much of the ball. But let's just go on what you've said there, John. So let's say you were picking the team. Bottoming out for Lascelles would be the assumption?
Well, yes. I mean, you know, we know that he doesn't like changing the back four. So We know this is not going to happen. And that's the first thing to establish. It will not happen. It will probably be the same back four. But, I mean, there's a case. Lascelles could easily come in with Shaw playing for Botman to the left of Lascelles. Yeah. I mean, I would like to see Byrne play left side, centre-half. But then who plays left-back? If it's LeFermento, then who plays right-back? It would have to be Kraft. We're not going to get as many changes as all that, and I'm not certain we need them. I mean, the first name on the team sheet's LeFermento at the back.
Hmm. I mean, yeah, he was excellent against Chelsea. I don't think it was a surprise to anyone to see how good he was going forward and defensively as well. He had a decent enough game. But I think if I was making changes, John, and it was in my power, I think I would be tempted to go five at the back. Because we know the midfield, even if he swapped Longstaff for Miley, it's still not going to be able to handle Manchester City's attack. It's just not. Like, it doesn't matter who you put in that midfield. If he sticks a three across the middle, it's going to get exposed regardless of personnel. So why not, you know, have Bruno and either Longstaff, Willock or Miley as the two centre midfielders, and then have five at the back. You know, you can play Byrne as one of the centre backs. Maybe you keep Botman in alongside Cher, and then left back, you either swap Livermento over there, or, I mean, Matt Target was on the bench against Chelsea. I know bringing him against City is a big ask, but look, if he's fit enough to be on the bench, he's got to be fit enough to take part at some point. And I just wonder whether, you know, five at the back is probably the best way to go about it, and then hit them with a bit of pace and when you've absorbed the pressure.
I can follow that reasoning totally. I wouldn't dream of starting Target. I mean, he hasn't even gone on for any length of time to get anything in his legs, and he's been out since Hadrian's Wall was built. So I don't think I would start with Target, and Eddie most certainly will not. I can see the reason for starting him with five. But, you know, and I don't want to be critical of Eddie, and it's not critical of Eddie, but we've got a right to our opinions. Everybody's got a right to their opinion, and we should be able to voice opinion. And just because Eddie Howe, you've done sensationally for Newcastle, saving them from relegation first and then taking it to fourth, that is absolutely wonderful. But that doesn't mean that somebody can't say, you know, we get the same, don't we? We know now we're going to go 4-3-3. We know we're going to get the same back four. We know we're going to get the same midfield in the front three. Now, after Chelsea and after all those other matches, taking out Wolves, do we not need a change of format or B, a change of personnel? Because the same old is not working, Andrew. Same old, 4-3-3, same personnel at Man City. We know we'll lose. We'll probably lose anyway, but let's try something. Let us try. Let's try five at the back. Let's try to be a bit more defensive against them and hit them on the break. Let's try different personnel. Why should Trippier's not available, but Shaw, Botman, Byrne, same midfield, play every week and say, we know we can defend better than that? No, we do not know we can defend better than that this season. Everything tells us we cannot. So what's the point in saying we can, and what's the point in sticking with exactly the same situation? It beats me.
You did in the last episode suggest that maybe it was time for a change as well. But as we say, you're kind of fully confident that Eddie Howe's going to stick with the same formation, and it doesn't work. I mean, that formation needs energy, it needs intensity, and the players are clearly knackered, and they're clearly not, something's not clicking. So sometimes you just have to park the bus and try and hit City that way. I mean, they'll pass you off the park, whatever you do. But, you know, you want to get half time and not be two or three goals down. And my fear is that if you play that same formation that Eddie Howe was likely to play, you could quite easily get half time in the game, be out of sight. Well, I think five at the back, you know, just you know that you're going to have a game where your back's against the wall. But with the five at the back, you've got a little bit more protection of Dubravka. The midfield's not as overrun. And you could get half time, level pegging, hopefully. And then you could switch it up. You know, then you can make them decisions after half time when you're still in the game. But you don't want to be making substitutions like Eddie Howe did with 10 minutes to go against Chelsea, where the substitutions were to save the legs of the players on the pitch, knowing that really the game was already gone. You know, you want to still be in the game. And I think five at the back actually probably is the best possible solution to that.
I mean, they're going to have all the ball, and our backs are going to be on against the wall, whether we field 11 defenders or 11 attackers. Yeah. There's no question about that. So let's accept that. But let us give Pep something to think about. Let's give Foden and Bernardo Silva something to think about. They'll know now what to expect from Newcastle. Now, today, because it will be what we suggested. And let's put a team sheet in front of them that effectively you can't tell what we're playing from it. And then let's go out there and at least Pep go, whoa, 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 what they're doing here? Wait a minute. They're doing five. They're playing a three now and getting the two fullbacks bummed out, etc., etc. Let's put new people in there that might give us some sort of hope, because this is, in some ways, this is the match to do it, because you're not risking a lot because it's already at risk. So let's have a try to do something a little bit different. Also, let's shake up these bodies, Andrew, like Botman and like Byrne and like Longstaff. They just don't bother going up the team sheet because they know they're on it and they're performing poorly, but they're still on this starting list. Let us shake it up a little bit. And I'm not having to go at the players or the Eddie in particular, but for goodness sake, wait, the situation where something has got to be done. Something different has got to be done. Some different personnel has got to be given an opportunity to do something, because it's all too predictable. The defence can't defend. The midfield can't defend going towards their own goal and are limited going the other way. We score goals still, but we're licking them like you said. I mean, we really are licking them huge, and we've got to do something. You look at Dan, bless him, how many times recently has an outside right absolutely done him? And we even got Palmer, who played out there, and you were hoping he'd play more centre so he wouldn't be out there against him, and he absolutely done him. And we've had that against Bournemouth, and we've had that against Luton, and we've had that, you know, the right side bloke must go to bed at night thrilled a bit, saying, I hope that's the way it's going to be on Saturday. And you know what? It is the way it is on Saturday. And, Dan Byrne would be twice the better player playing left side centre half.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I also wonder whether, John, this kind of game, you know, where you need a hero, you need a character to make it the Hollywood story. And I wonder, you know, is it Jamal Lascelles' stage? He's the captain's armband, wearing the captain's armband. Look, he signed that new deal, but that might be just so that you can get a bit of value from him in the summer. If he stays past the summer, which I hope he does, he knows he's not going to be first team choice. But, you know, him lifting the cup at Wembley, like, you know, is it time to get him in? He could be the hero. He could be the one that shocks everybody. Is it time to get maybe Anderson in, Miley in, and just say, look, go and write your own headlines? Because you're right. I think the fact that Eddie Howe's not been able to change it has maybe, I don't know if stagnation is the right word, but, you know, players have become too used to their own position. And that, on top of the tiredness and what have you, obviously it's having a detrimental effect. With Anthony Gordon, obviously he went off against Chelsea. There's a little bit of hope, actually, that he might be available for Saturday, which would be surprising given that everyone thought it was a long-term injury, but he could be back for Saturday, is the hope from some. If there's a chance of him playing on Saturday, John? Do you risk him or do you keep him out and keep him nice and ready for West Ham?
Brilliant question, because if there's 1% doubt, I wouldn't risk him because he's too valuable to us. Will he make the whole difference? Will he make it go from a defeat to a win? Because there's no such thing as a draw on Saturday because it's extra time and penalties. Maybe he could come on if we're still in the game and turn it in favours. I wouldn't take any percentage risk because as long as we can do something like make Europe against all the odds, and every time we have an opportunity, we'll blow it. I mean, the points dropped at home to Bournemouth, at home to Nottingham Forest, at home to Luton, at Chelsea. We're giving it away. Do we want to be in Europe? You know, so I wouldn't risk him. I thought Murphy, who come on from, was one of the few pluses, together with Livramento and Isak's strike, his goal, 16th of the season. Where would we be without him? He didn't have a particularly wonderful game, but he comes up with goals, and that's what centre-forwards are about. Murphy did okay. I wouldn't risk him if it's a genuine risk, Gordon, because he's vitally important. If he's got off his bed of nails and walked and has done that all week and trained all week, and that's fine. But this is not a match to risk him in.
So if you don't risk him, are we saying Almiron and Murphy on the wings?
I don't think we've got any option but to do that. Murphy did okay. Almiron, I mean, the trouble is, if you were harsh, Andrew, you could drop 7 of that team, but you haven't got another 7 you could bring in, and, you know.
Just on Almiron, it's strange because he played on the left, didn't he, against Chelsea, and he looked better. And I don't understand why he's not on that left consistently, because actually the times he has been this season, he's putting crosses in first time, he's using his left foot. It's like, wow, he's actually better on that left, but obviously he's a right winger by title. That's where he plays the most of his games. But I do wonder, why not just give him a consistent run out on the left? And I know, start with Man City, Murphy on the right. Going forward, if he has a decent game on the left, then you bring Gordon back, he can play on the right. I know there's like the switch, but I've been impressed with Almiron on the left. And if it was me, I'd be starting him on the left against City.
Yeah, he is better, natural foot. They like playing people on the wrong foot so they cut inside and have a shot, don't they? The theory of the situation. But why not? I mean, yeah, and Murphy did well when he come on, not just scoring a good goal, but, you know, a few things he did, he was fine. I'm not suggesting for one moment he's Anthony Gordon in terms of consistency. Gordon is good enough to be player of the year this year for Newcastle United, in my opinion. But yes, I would start with those ones. My concerns, the back four, there's nothing we can do about the keeper, because the keeper's the keeper. And does he get shot by the four in front of him, or does he get shot because he's not as good as he was or whatever? That's another debate. But I get worried about the back four and the middle three. And you know, if we say we can't defend, and Eddie says, "Oh, I'm amazed because we can defend better than that." Yes, a year ago, not now. A year ago, we can't defend better than that. And by the way, you know, if that's the way we defend at Chelsea, where they're limited, Cole Palmer apart, this is the best attacking side in possibly the world as far as club football is concerned. They're FA Cup holders, they're Premier League title winners, they're European champions, they're world club champions, they're the best team in the world, officially. And what an attacking side they are. I mean, crikey me, they'll be lining up on the right wing to take Burn on. They'll be standing in a queue outside of Marks and Sparks. And you know, they are good attacking side, so we've got to defend well against them to have any hope whatsoever. I mean, we get a clean sheet against Wolves with hindsight, by the way, and I didn't say this at the time, but with hindsight, was it because the two top goal scorers were out and Neto, their best attacker, was not at the races and was subbed by half time? Is that how we got a clean sheet? but we'll get a clean sheet against them. The clean sheet at Chelsea, and I must stress this is an average side, Chelsea, not a good side. The clean sheet at Chelsea lasted 5 minutes. 5 minutes, and the clean sheet's gone. Botman, an absolute disgrace, the way he scooped the ball out, and he wasn't alone in the mistakes, as we need to extend this programme by another hour if we went into that. But, you know, we defend so averagely against them. If we defend against Man City like that, I'll need more fingers on my hand.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're clearly lacking confidence, and that's clear to see, lacking a bit of organisation. There's a lot wrong, but they showed against Wolves, you know, when they're on the day, they can beat a good side, and hopefully, you know, what they found against Wolves, they can bring to Manchester City. Otherwise, like you say, if they perform like they did against Chelsea, they're going to have a bit of bother. Before I ask you for your prediction, John, let me just read out some of these positives that have been sent, because let's finish on a bit of a high, okay? Because the middle part of the episode, it's been a little bit realistic and a little bit down, but we're going to try and finish on a high. We've got Sanjeev saying, remember Hereford United, anything is possible in the FA Cup. I'm liking that thought from Sanjeev, but however, comparing Newcastle to Hereford or using Hereford as the example shows you just how low the mood is when it comes to the possibility of Newcastle beating City. But I think the point is anything is possible in the FA Cup. Adrian says the positive, Newcastle actually show up in most games that are expected to get hammered in. Rob says you don't know what you're going to get from this team. Good enough reason to believe they could provide a shock. Steve says anything can happen in the FA Cup. Andrew says I'll probably be asleep on the sofa. So that's a positive for him. Patty says every great team has lost games they should have won. Anything can happen. No team is unbeatable. Newcastle could step up, play the game of their life and win. It's not over before it's even been played. And that's the one for me, which I'm gonna ask you about, John, because I think Patty's absolutely spot on there. Newcastle could step up and it's not over before it's even been played. And she's right, isn't she?
Yes, of course she is. I mean, we've got to grasp something because we want to. We're Geordies, we love Newcastle United, we're passionate about them, we want it to happen, so we've got to hang on to something. And I'll tell you what, you look at Newcastle this season, we accept has not been everything we hoped it would be. However, this is the fourth game against Manchester City, and we have never been out of a match yet against Manchester City. We beat them 1-0 in the League Cup. The only reason they can't do a quadruple this season is because of Newcastle United. They're on for this second successive treble, but it's not a quadruple, which Liverpool can do. And why isn't it? Because we beat them 1-0 in the League Cup. In the two league matches, we lost 3-2 up here and only 1-0 down there. Forget about the performance. The score was only 1-0. So in the two league games, we've been in the game the whole game because 3-2 and 1-0, and we beat them in the League Cup. So we've never been out of competition during a match with them in three games this season. So why can't it stretch to a fourth game? That is a distinct possibility. The other possibilities are that Manchester City, look at what they've had, and they've just played a derby against Manchester United, which they won. They've just played Liverpool in a momentous battle, which they draw. In the next game they play after us, Arsenal. So the three huge games, Man United, Liverpool, Arsenal. Might us in between be the one where they take their foot off the accelerator and just think, well, this one will be easy, I'll showboat. And all of a sudden, before they know where they are, we aren't showboating and they've got a problem. It's these sort of games you have a problem. Manchester City won't have a problem in the Manchester Derby. They won't have a problem at Liverpool and they won't have a problem with Arsenal, attitude-wise I'm talking about, because they'll be right up for those ones. We've got to hope that they're not quite up, because you can't control what's in here. Pep will be saying to them, the only thing that'll beat you today is yourselves, your own attitude. Get it wrong. But he can't get in their heads, and subconsciously some of them will think, I needn't stress, I needn't strain, I needn't do that as much in this game as I did against Man United, as I did against Liverpool, and as I must do against Arsenal. And maybe we can take advantage of that. Maybe.
Fingers crossed. It's wishful thinking, but I somehow think Man City will definitely be up for this game. But I know the point you're making, John. Give me your prediction on Saturday then. How is it going to go? Are Newcastle going to get through?
No. You've asked for my prediction, and when it comes down to it, you've got to tell the truth. With all my heart, I wouldn't love anything more than Newcastle getting through, because don't forget, purely on age, more than you, have waited longer than you for Newcastle to win something. And this is a chance to win something. You'd be in the semi-final of the Cup. But you know what? The remote chance we had, in my humble opinion, has been taken away from us, because if we could have got a draw on 90 minutes and brought them to St. James's Park, it could have been totally different. But we go on to extra time and then penalties. It's got to be decided on the day, and that has taken an awful lot away from the situation from my point of view. I've got to be honest, because we're here to be honest. I mean, I don't know why I need to say this, or anyone need to say it, but we will say it. In our hearts, we are desperate for Newcastle to win. But if you're asking me, as a professional that's followed football in Newcastle United since 1966, I've got to say, no, I think we will get knocked out. What I want, if that happens, Andrew, is I want it to happen with dignity. I want us to put a performance up so that it's with, if we go out, we go out with dignity. We do not go out embarrassed.
I agree. I want that. I don't think they're going to get through either. I think City would be too dominant for them. But again, let's try and finish on a high, because I want you, John, if Anyhow rang you up later this afternoon, he goes, John, I want you to come down to the Etihad and I want you to deliver the team talk 5 minutes before they go out against Manchester City. What would you be saying to the players?
I would tell them to remember what this club's all about, what last season was all about, what it did to the city last season, how they ended up 6 foot, 10 foot tall, walking through the town with everybody hailing how wonderful they are. I would like them to remember what made them successful, a total belief, a total togetherness, a total one for all and all for one. To go out there, remember to be positive, to believe, to be positive. Shy Ben's getting out. So let's go out there. And above all, let's hold our head up as high as it's possible to hold. If we get into them, they won't like it. If we start on the front foot, and by that, I don't mean necessarily gung-ho attacking them, but being believers. We have got to believe in us. And I would say, when you walk out, you look only at where our supporters are housed. You think what they've done to come down here, how much money it's cost them to come down here, how much time they give up, and realize these were the lads that were in London on a Saturday night, that were down at Bournemouth, that were all over the country and will be for the rest of the season. And you look them in the eyes, you fix your eyes on that till the kickoff. And if that doesn't inspire you, you oughtn't to be at this club.
There we go. That's all they need. Hopefully they'll play that just before they walk out at the Etihad on Saturday evening. Thank you, as always, to John for providing the match preview. I've been Andrew Musgrove. If you're on YouTube, give this video a thumbs up and hit subscribe to the channel. Let us know your thoughts on Saturday. Would you change the formation? Would you play five at the back? Would you make some personnel changes? Get in the comments. Let us know. I do get back to you guys. If you're listening on the podcast channel, we're looking to get up to 300 on the good old rating and reviews. And when we hit 300, we'll win a prize draw. So get in the rating reviews in. We always love to hear your feedback. Head over to chroniclelive.co.uk for all the latest Newcastle news, including Eddie Howe's press conference on Friday morning. For myself and John, we'll see you guys next week.